The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. And we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to do verses 18 through 21. As I was preparing this sermon, as I was preparing this series, I knew I would ultimately come to the topic that we're going to talk about today. And I also knew that within this topic, there was parts of it that some people would like, and there were parts of it that some people may not like. But I figured the way I'm going through this, that everybody would be covered, and everybody would either love me or hate me by the time we're done. Now, it's important that as we go through this, if you're married and you're sitting with your spouse right now, there are certain times you are not to look at your spouse. Okay? This is for your benefit, not mine, because you have to go home with your spouse. Don't jab them in the side. No, I say that jokingly, because this is a very important, last week I said that last week's sermon was the pivotal point in my series, because we were talking about love and we need to understand what love is. So now that we hopefully understand, if you don't understand what love is, you need to go to 1 Corinthians 3. I think it's 3. I don't remember, but listen to my sermon last week. And you go to 1 Corinthians, says love is patient, love is kind. That's how you understand what love is. So we're going to take what we learned last week and we're going to bring it into probably one of the most important places that we need to understand what love is, that we need to see what love is, and that is love in the home. But I want to begin by telling you a little story first. There was a little boy, and I don't know why this is, but every single time there's a little boy story, the boy's name is Johnny. I don't know why, but that's what his name was. And Johnny was 4 years old. And all year, somebody would come up and say, "How old are you, Johnny?" And he would, "No, 4. Well, his birthday was coming up. And so he had been practicing how to add the fifth finger. And so it is the night before his birthday, and he's with his mom, and his mom is sitting there. She says, "Now, Johnny, how old are you today?" 4. And she says, "Oh yeah, you are. This is the last night you will be 4. She says, "Now when you wake up in the morning, how old will you be?" And he goes, "Mommy, tomorrow I'm going to be a handful." And kids can be a handful. Spouses can be a handful. But you understand that it's important. It's hard sometimes to be a parent. It's hard sometimes to be in relationships. But they're important. They're very important. So as we continue this series on loving God and loving family, and for those of you who don't know, that's part of our purpose. Our purpose as a church to love God, love family, and make disciples, who ultimately make disciples. And loving family is about loving everyone. I mean, you guys are my family. I've got my immediate family and my extended family, but I also have my church family. And we're also family of God, the family of man. We're supposed to love everyone. So we're talking about that. We're looking at that today. And I think the home is one of the most important places for us to start learning how to love. My children look at me, they watch me, and they watch my wife, and they understand how we are to love. Unfortunately, they also understand how we're supposed to fight. That's not true. They understand how we're not supposed to fight. Not that we don't fight, but they sometimes we don't fight like we should. In all relationships, we'll have some arguments and disagreements. But they need to understand, but they need to see, children need to see mom and dad loving each other. Children need to see us loving them. They need to see us loving their brothers and sisters. They need to see us loving our neighbors. They need to see us loving everyone. They need to see us loving those in the church. But the home is the place where it should start. And if we're going to have loving relationships in the home, we need to understand how God has established a pattern for love in the home. He's established a pattern for how the home should be. So we're going to look at that. And I'm going to begin with, like I say, looking in Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21. And this is what Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Now, all you husbands, you'll stop right there and say, there it is. But you need to read on, as always. Don't ever read just one verse and say, there it is, because you need to read what's before it and after it. So we're going to go after it. Husbands, love your wives. And you may stop there, but you don't need to. You need to go on. And do not be harsh with them. Wow. And he says, children, obey your parents in everything. All right, everybody who is a child of somebody else, say that with me. Everybody should be saying it because you're all children of somebody. Everything. Thank you. Why? For this pleases the Lord. Fathers, back to God, father, guys again. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Why? Lest they become discouraged. Father, we praise you today. You're a good father. You're a good parent. And Lord, we long to be good children. Help us to see how the home is that incubator, that place of beginning to help us be the people we need to be and help us to love the way we're supposed to love. Amen. Billy Graham once said, let your home be your parish. Let your little brood be your congregation. And let your living room be your sanctuary. And let your knee be your sacred altar. The home is important. And what happens in the home is important. The environment that we create. So Paul, he's addressing wives. He's addressing husbands. He's addressing children. He's addressing fathers as he's writing to this church. And each member of the home plays a key role in the environment of the house. Believe me, when my wife is having a bad day, the environment is not pleasant in the home. Not because she doesn't deserve, to express how she's feeling. It's just that she is central to the home. When I'm having a bad day, the tone and the feeling of the home is different. When the kids are just not right, when they're struggling with things, when school has been tough, the environment is tough. Where all of those are key. And in the same way, if mothers, if wives are not doing their part, if husbands are not doing their part, if the children are not doing their part, if the parents are not doing their part, the home fails. And I'll be honest with you, the evil one wants nothing more than our homes and our families to fail. If he can get the homes to fail, if he can get fathers to fail, if he can get mothers to fail and wives to fail, he will destroy a foundational part of God's plan. And that is what he's trying to do, and he is good at it. He's been doing it a long time. He did it at the beginning. He destroyed the relationship between Adam and Eve. And then he destroyed the relationship between their kids. And he wants to destroy the relationships in your homes. God, we sang in that song that he can tear down. God's love can destroy any stronghold. Satan builds up strongholds in our relationships, but God can tear them down. If we listen to him and we do his will, and we form our homes and we form our lives based upon what he says. And that's what we're looking at today. He has a pattern for how the home should be. And if we follow his design, if we don't just, okay, I guess I'll have to do that. No, we need to embrace those roles. Men, you should be embracing the idea of loving your wives. Wives, you should be embracing the idea of being submissive to your husbands. I know you don't like that word, but we'll talk about that. Children, you should be embracing the idea of obeying your parents. It's not just doing it. It's embracing it. He's given to each of us what we need to be. And this will build the basis for loving relationships, not only in the home, but outside the home. What good is it if we love others, but we don't love our home family? I know there are people out there who seem to be the nicest people in the world, but if you see them, you see them with their family, you're like, man, who is this guy? He's a great guy at work, but man, he treats his family like he doesn't even know them. Loving people begins at home. It must begin at home. And our homes need to be marked by love for one another. But if we're going to do that, we need to make sure we understand what God's plan was for the home. So let's begin by looking at the first ones that Paul addresses, and that's the wives. He is not addressing women, the wives first, because they're the worst, believe me. He is an equal opportunity addresser, shall I say. He's going to address everybody. But he addresses wives in verse 18. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. We live in a culture that is obsessed by rights. I have the right to do this. You know, we have the Bill of Rights in the Constitution. We have the right to free speech, the right to freedom of religion. We have the right to carry a gun. We have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we want to defend those rights. And we should defend some of those rights. But the problem comes when we place in the home, we place those rights that we have above the duties that we have. God is not a God of rights. He gives us those rights. Believe me, all those rights came from Him. The founders of the Constitution, the founders of our country were correct. These are God-given rights. But there's something that's higher than those, and that is duty. I have the right to carry a gun. You cannot infringe upon my right to carry a gun. But if I'm going around and I'm waving that gun around and I'm pointing and shooting at people, I have now lost that right, and I have a duty to protect my fellow man. Okay? I have a right to free speech. But I don't have a right to keep other people from speaking their mind too. I have a right to the freedom of the practice of religion, but I can't stop others from practicing theirs. You want to be a Muslim? Fine. I'll tell you about Jesus. He's better. But you have every right to be praying just as much as I have a right to be praying in this country. You may not be doing the right thing, but you have the right to do it. But we live in a world that we talk about rights. You know, don't think about infringing on my rights. But we forget about duty. What is your duty? God places a higher emphasis on duty than rights. And this runs counter to what the world tells us. A wife submitting to her husband is not popular in our society today. Whenever I counsel, I'm counseling a couple right now, and I first thing I do, I look at the wife, I say, so how do you feel about submission? And I always get this response, I don't like it. I said, well, you got to understand, submission itself is not a bad thing. We all have to submit to somebody, right? We're all under submission. A wife should submit to her husband. It's not about it, but it's a willing submission. It's not that I'm doing it under duress or by compulsion. I'm doing it willingly. Some people view it as this. This is what they think submission is. That you have chained me. You have chained me to this. But godly submission by a Christian wife is a very beautiful thing, and it looks like that. Submission is freedom. Jesus himself set the idea. He gave us the example of submission. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's agonizing over what's going to happen. And he says, Lord, take this cup from me. But he says, this is where he submits. He says, but not my will, but yours. And he submitted and died on the cross. In Luke 22:42, he says, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. See, like I said, we all have people of authority over us. We all have to submit. You and I have to submit to people every day. If we go to 1 Corinthians 11:3, husbands are supposed to submit to Christ. We need to submit ourselves to Christ. In Ephesians 5:23, the church is to submit to Christ. In Romans 13:1, you as citizens of the United States are to submit to the authorities. I watch I was watching some videos last night. I don't know why. I was in the mood for it. I was watching some videos on YouTube of these guys who go and intentionally antagonize the police and get them on video, trying to get the police to do something they're not supposed to do. They have the right. You have the right to videotape anything you want. That's your right. But do you have the duty? Is it your duty to do things that are antagonistic? And I think, okay, I understand the police should not be doing their things. That's not their right or duty, the way what they're doing. But do you have the duty to instigate it? No. That's not loving. You're not being loving towards these guys. These guys are confused. They're not doing their job right, but they've been told what they're supposed to do, and it's not right, but that's fine. There are times we need to stand up to our authorities. If they come through the door and say, I'm sorry, you can no longer preach about Christ, I'm sorry, you're going to have to take me to jail. If they go against Scripture, against the Bible, yeah, I will stand up to them. But I'm not going to stand up to them in any other reason except for when they go against what God tells me to do. But we are all in submission. Children are submit to their parents. Employees, you have to submit to your employer or you won't be employed much longer. We are told to submit to those in authority over us. And if, without this, think about this. If we did not have that, if we did not have this structure of authority over us, what would we do? What would it be like? And we know what it's like. If you go back into the Old Testament, you'll find all through the judges, when you get Gideon and Samson, you get all these judges who come and it says, and then they judged for this long, and then everybody did what? What was right in their own eyes. That's what we do. If we don't have somebody in authority over us, we start doing what we want to do ourselves. Well, I think I need to take my neighbor's car. I want to do that. Funny story. I'm going to tell you this story because I think it's hilarious. It's a great example of this. There was a woman who wrote into a show about the fact that her fellow coworker, they were writing copy. Copy is when you were writing an article or a description of something. And the girl had to spell the word hamster. And she spelled it with a P. H-A-M-P-S-T-R. And her boss came up to her and said, I need to talk to you about this. We need to review it. And she says, you know, you spelled hamster. And she says, you know, you understand that hamster spelled without a P. It's H-A-M-S-T-E-R. That's hamster. There's no P in it. And the girl says, well, that's how I've always spelled it. Well, I tell you what, the boss says, well, let's go to dictionary.com and see how it's spelled. She says, I don't need that to tell me how to spell it. I spell it the way I want to. Consequently, she started going through all the other things in the copy that was wrong, and the person got really offended. So offended, she called her mom and told her mom to call her boss and tell her not to treat her that way. We want to do, if we don't have somebody in authority over us, we start doing what we want to do in our own eyes. And it's not always right. There needs to be some levels of authority. And as I said, the word submit in Greek actually means willingly submit, to willingly subject oneself. I am willingly submitting myself to the elders of this church. I am one of them, but I submit myself to Jeff and Seth. If they come to me and say, Pastor, we have a problem, I'm not going to say, well, that's too bad, I'm going to do it my way. I submit myself to them. It's voluntary. The wife must decide to voluntarily submit to her husband. Why? Because this is fitting in the Lord. Or in other words, it's the right thing to do. This is part of the design that God has for the home. Now, I know you're thinking, man, ladies, men are sitting there thinking, yeah, amen, right? The women are sitting here thinking, you don't know my husband. There are times when the wife and the husband do not agree. There are going to be times. But a decision has to be made. I want you to know that the final responsibility for what goes on in the home rests in the husband. Now I say that, you understand what I'm saying. I am not saying that the husband has to make every decision. That is not what I said. What I said is the final responsibility for it lies with him. There are things in our home that my wife makes the decision on. I'm good with that. Because number one, I know what decision she's going to make and I trust her to make the right decision. Now we'll get to the responsibilities of the husband late in a minute, okay? So don't think I'm letting him off the hook. Because I want you to know, no man is perfect. No, guys, tell yourself, I want all the guys to say this. I am not perfect. Say it with me. I am not perfect. Great. I will not make the women say that. But you know you're not. Right? There will be times, when the man will make the wrong decision. But you know, here's what's supposed to happen. If a decision needs to be made and the husband is in on that decision, if he has not said, whatever you decide, hon, is fine with me. And if you say that, you better mean it. And he makes a decision and it's the wrong decision. Women, ladies, you need to be willing to allow your husband to make a mistake. Don't point at her. I told you that at the beginning. That's just trouble. You need to be willing to allow your husband to make a mistake. Now, understand, if he's a smart man and he makes a mistake and you were right, sooner or later he's going to listen to you more often. If he's a smart man. This does not mean that the husband doesn't listen to the wife at all. In fact, God made Eve for Adam to be his helper. He did not make Eve out of the foot of Adam so that he could put his foot on her and keep her down. He did not make her out of Adam's head so that she could be above him. How did he make Eve? He took it from his rib, his side. God could have taken any body part and made it from him. I know, ladies, sometimes you think he actually took this and made your husband. He took the rib out of Adam's side so that she could be at his side and be his helper. And believe me, ladies, we need help. Being submissive is not standing there and never giving your opinion and just letting your husband run all over you. That is not submissive. We'll get to what the husband's supposed to do in a minute. That is not being submissive. Being submissive is saying, hon, I love you. You're going to make this decision. I know you may be wrong, but I'm going to let you do it. And then when that problem happens and he makes that decision and it was wrong, you don't go to him and say, ha-ha, I told you so. You say, you know, I love you. And that's why I love you, because you're willing to make those mistakes. I love you. And you let them make the mistakes. That's being submissive. It's not what the world says. The world says submissive is you're this little woman who doesn't say anything. That's not submissive. That's weak. And that's not being a helper. God wants you to be submissive in a way you willingly submit to your husband, because ultimately he has to stand before God and give an account for his household. I will stand before God and I will give an account for my household. And believe me, if I would think about that more often, my household I would act differently in my household at times. I'll be honest with you. I told you last week that this whole series is bothering me and it is really tearing me apart. Because every single time I preach on something, that week I have an issue with it. That's okay. I'm good with that. I preach for me, not just for you guys. See, we must remember that God can take mistakes and he can make good things out of them. If we're allowed room for failure. A godly wife will give advice humbly and with love. Well, you know what you should do. That's me talking to my wife. That's not how we need to talk to each other. The wife can say, sweetheart, I love you. And you know, if you need my help, if you want my opinion, I'd love to give it to you. If not, then that's fine. Or it could be, hey, you know, can we maybe try this? Not, you're doing it all wrong. That's not right. Maybe you should just try this. You know, it needs to be humble and with love. And then the husband needs to take that love, that information, that criticism, if it is criticism, but it's good criticism, humbly and with love. That's my struggle. Don't tell me what to do and don't tell me how to do something. I struggle with that. What this does mean is that a godly wife allows her husband to lead a family even at times when she's not comfortable with what he is deciding to do. Now, I want to be honest with you. There are homes where the husband or the wife is definitely in charge. That you can tell that the husband, he's not the one in charge. It's the wife who's the one in charge. Instead of allowing her husband to lead and cultivating the submissive attitude and being supportive of her husband, which is her role, that's the woman's role in relationship, that's how God made it, she runs the show. And what that does, that dishonors God. Well, my husband, man, he can barely run water, let alone run the house. Well, maybe it's because you haven't led him. Maybe it's because you haven't shown him how to do it, and he needs to learn. And if you have kids, you're teaching the kids the same thing. My kids need to know that daddy's the boss, but he's not the overlord. You know, I don't lord it over my wife that I'm in charge. In fact, I take it pretty serious that God's going to hold me account for what goes on in my home. And I have a lot to repent of, believe me. I'm not perfect. Remember, guys, I'm not perfect. We need to keep telling ourselves that. But just in the same way, if I'm being an overlord, if I'm lording over my wife and trying to run the household with my thumb and have everything's done my way or no way, that's not honoring God either. One thing needs to be clear. I want to make sure all you ladies understand this. Paul says, wives, submit to your husband. Now, why is that important? That's important because there will be people in your life, other ladies in your life that will say, huh, you know, so-and-so, you hear what she does? That's not being submissive. That's not your place to pass judgment on somebody else's wife. Husbands and wives need to know each other. You need to figure out where that boundary is. You need to figure out how you are complementing each other. What is submissiveness and what is in my family may not be the same that's in your family. It may not, plus not to mention, it doesn't look the same because you don't see the whole picture. You only see from the outside. You're not there every day. So you need to submit to your husbands, not everybody else's opinion of what submission should be. The only opinion that matters is his. God's opinion is the only one that matters. You need to know your husband because you were created to be his helpmate. And back in Genesis 2:18, God says, and the Lord says, it is not good that man should be alone. Why? Because he would probably get lost, wandering around, not knowing what to do, right? It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Wow. God created my wife knowing me and all of my issues, and she's the perfect fit for me. Now, if I don't treat that with the respect and the love and the humbleness that's due, I'm a fool. A good, godly wife will want to help her husband. And here's the thing. Here's the best way for ladies, for you to help your husbands is to say, sweetheart, or whatever you call him. I call my wife sweetheart. We have, you know, I know. Is to say, how can I help you? Not, this is how you need to do it. Not, this is doing, being done wrong. You need to ask, how can I help you? And sometimes, you know what that help is? Just leave me alone, hon. Let me do this on my own. And that's okay. Then you say, great, I love you. I'm going to go do something else because I got plenty to do. But then sometimes it will be, man, could you hold this for me? Or can you help me get this? Can you get me some water? Can you hold, can you go get this? Can you help me? Can you nail this in? I love that. You know, I'm working with my kids, especially my kids are at the age where they're going to start really being able to do things. And I don't want them to do too much because I don't want them to screw it up. So I have to do it again. You know, that's my fear. But it's great when I can say, hey, can you hammer this in? And they hammer it all the way. And I'm like, yes. I should do the same thing with my wife. I should be able to trust her to nail something in or screw something in and know how to do it. Well, I know her dad taught her probably how to do it. It's not a problem. But those are the things. Men, we need to allow our wives to help us. But there are times it doesn't happen. That's okay. Also understand that there are certain things in the family that some in the household that women are better at. Some women are better at handling finances than men. Some, now my household, that's not the way it is. I mean, I've got an accounting degree. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to handle finances. But when I do that, I don't not talk to her about it. I make sure she knows what's going on if I can. If she wants to know anything, I don't hide anything from her. And I make sure she has access to everything. But there are some things men are better at. Guys, we may be better at washing the dishes. But we may be better at it. So do it. By the way, just so you know, this is not from me. This is from Dr. Dobson. The best way to be intimate with your wife is to wash the dishes. That's what he says. That's the best start. Do things for her. You might be better. Not that he's better at it than my mom, but my dad, I always remember my dad. He was always the one who would mop the kitchen floor. To this day, I'm sure he still mops the kitchen floor. Not that he's better, but he does that because he loves my mom. And so that taught me there's some things I need to do for her. And maybe I am better at it. And if I find out I am, I better keep doing it. But there are some things she's better at. And I need to allow her the grace to do it. The key is to be submissive to your own husband, not submissive by some other woman's idea. Husbands, okay, we've beat up the wives enough. No. We've understood that we need our wives. They're our helpers. We need to allow them to help us. Husbands, the next verse addresses husbands. It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Why does he do this to me? If you're working on something, it's just not working out and you get frustrated and your wife comes and says, hey, you know, if you did it this way, what are you going to do? That's our first response. We need to not do that. We as husbands are to love our wives. The fact, think about this. The ancient world, the time that this was written, it was a man's world. Meaning that women were considered property. Personal property. So this is interesting that Paul is saying to these men, oh no, they're not your property. You are to love them as Christ loves the church. Don't be harsh with them because they would have been. Because it's just property. What happens if you have a mule and the mule doesn't do what it's supposed to do? You whip it, right? Paul says, no. She is not property to you. You are to love her. In fact, this idea is that Paul's using, the words he used, and this is what you have to understand with Greek, there's more meaning to it than just the word, is to keep loving her. That, what does that mean? That means that if she does something I don't like, that doesn't mean I don't love her anymore. That means I continue to love her through that. We are commanded to keep on loving your wives. That means you need to show her that you love her. Well, she knows. No, she doesn't. Same thing with wives. You tell your husband that you love him. He doesn't know that. Believe me, he can't read your mind. And if he did, he'd never understand it. And the same thing with you. You women, you will not understand the man's mind. It is not, we barely understand it because we've got, you know, it's in there. We've dealt with it our whole life. Ladies are the same way. We don't understand it. You need to communicate with each other. But it was a man's world. He's instructing the church to be countercultural. Keep loving your wife. And what that does is, it's this idea of keep loving her because you are intentionally trying to be deliberately doing deliberate acts of love to your wife. It doesn't mean that you have to say, I love you all the time, but man, when you, she doesn't have to ask you to do the floor. You know, I come home and the dishes aren't done yet, and I'm like, oh man, okay, I'm gonna load the dishwasher, I'm gonna wash the dishes, I'm gonna put them all away. Wow. And she didn't even have to ask me. That's love. That's showing love. We need to love our wives this way. Because understand that if I love my wife the way I'm supposed to, her submission to me will be easier. And actually, in Ephesians 5:25, Paul says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Are you willing to give yourself up for, are you willing to sacrifice yourself for your wife? Jesus loved the church so much, he gave his life for it. Are we willing to do that as husbands? We're not to be bitter towards our wives. Or as I read in the ESV, it says, do not be harsh with them. Gruffness, meanness have no place in the godly home. Kick myself. It has no place in the godly home, either from the wife or from the husband or from the kids. We are to be loving and kind to our wives. It's easy for us to come home after a hard day of work, or for the wife to come home after a hard day of work and just be gruff with everybody. This is a sin, and we need to confess it, and we need to stop it. We need to ask Jesus to help us get rid of the selfishness, because that's what it is. I've had a bad day. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Just leave me alone. And what we don't understand, especially if you're a stay-at-home mom, guess what? The mom's saying, when you get in here, you take care of those kids because I've had enough of them, you know. Instead, you should come together and say, cry on each other's shoulder and say, okay, how are we going to do this? How can I help you? And the wife says, well, how can I help you? That's what we need to do. We can't allow an unloving attitude in our homes. It cannot be. It'll destroy. And that is what Satan is trying to do. I told you at the beginning, he's trying to destroy our homes. And that's what he's doing. It's counterproductive to the structure God has desired for the Christian home. Children, let's get through this. Children. Wives have the responsibility. Husbands have the responsibility. Children also have it. It says in verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything. Why? For this pleases the Lord. You are to obey your children, your parents in everything. Not just the things you agree in. Not just those things you want to, only if you feel like it. No, you are to obey them always, everything. Obedience should be practiced at all times. You can't pick and choose. Why? Because it pleases God for you to be obedient. You can't sit there and go to the Bible and say, well, I don't like that one, I don't like that one. I'm not going to obey those. I'm just going to leave those alone. I'm just going to do this over here. Oh, love God. Oh, I got that. Love your neighbor. Ain't going to happen. I don't feel like it. Doesn't work. You as a child cannot disobey your parents. You shall not. You will not. It dishonors God. The home needs to be a place where we obey. And notice, there's no age limit on it. It doesn't say until you're the age of 18 and you move and you are to obey your parents. No, you are to always obey your parents, especially if you're living at, hey, don't point at anybody, especially if you're living at home. If you're an adult and you're in your parents and you're living with them, you better obey them or you better move out and get your own place. Or even so, when you are out there amongst the people, amongst normal people, when you're out there amongst the world, because there are no normal people, trust me. When you're out there in the world, the real world, you still obey your parents. You honor them. Now that doesn't mean if your parents tell you to do something that's wrong, that you do it. That's dishonoring God. but you honor your parents even if you're not living at home. But if you are living at home, you definitely obey your parents. I'm going to make sure my kids hear this sermon, by the way. Oh, no, not this week. I'm saving it for when they turn 13 and when they turn 16 and when they turn 18. It would be wise for you to make a habit of obeying your parents now while you're young. I mean, think about it. In school, you have to obey the teachers. Well, I hope in school they make you obey the teachers. You're supposed to obey the teachers in school and the administrators. You have to obey the coach's instructions in sports. In your job, you have to obey your employer. In the military, you have to obey your superior officers. In society, we have to obey authority, and we all must obey God. In fact, God says, if you love me, you will obey me. Obedience shows honor and respect. And it pleases God, our Father. Understand, the home is the best place to learn obedience as a child. It's the best place to teach obedience as a parent. Practice it now. It's going to be easier. Have your children be obedient now, because once they're out of the home, it's going to be a lot easier, a lot harder for them to be obedient if they haven't been obedient at home. Finally, parents. Know that this, he uses this word, fathers, but the actually it's the same word that's used in verse 20, that's used in verse 1 is also used in Hebrews 11:23, and it's translated there as parents. I don't want you to think that, oh, now they're looking at fathers and now they're pushing the mothers to the side. That's not what he's doing. The father is the head and he is ultimately responsible, but it's parents in reality. And it says, fathers or parents, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Boy, there are a lot of ways we can provoke our kids. A lot of ways to provoke our kids. You know, Caleb and Abigail are mostly cared for by Beth during the day. I mean, she homeschools, so she's taking care of them. But I'm ultimately responsible for what happens in the home. I will be held responsible. And if I am inconsistent in my discipline, if I am inconsistent in how I treat my kids, they're going to be discouraged. Now think about this. If Caleb and Abigail, one of them does something wrong and I let them do it, and then I let them do it, and then I let them do it, and then finally the fourth time I step my foot and I said, you better stop it right now. On my daddy voice. And I threatened to spike them and time out. And they're like, well, wait a minute. I just did it three times and you stood there and you didn't do anything. That's crazy. What we have to do is when we discipline our children, when we're trying to teach them, we have to stop them the first time they do it and say, whoa, don't do that. I don't spank them the first time. You don't, you know, put them in time and say, don't do that. You do that, this is what's going to happen. If you continue in that activity, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get time out. You're going to get that taken away, whatever it is. I don't care what the discipline is. And then the next time they do it, you do it, whatever that was. But if I don't do that, then I'm showing them inconsistency. It'll confuse them. They'll be exasperated. I should correct them lovingly. That's hard. Especially when they disrespect their mother. That's hard for me to say, all right, okay guys, you know, mommy loves you. I can't do it. It's stop it. You are disrespecting your mother. Because understand, this isn't the first time they've done it. But we can discourage our children. We can also discourage them by being too harsh with them. The first time they do something, you know, and taking your bike away for the next year. Oh, come on. You know, or I'm being extremely harsh that first time they do something. That also will get them to be discouraged. We don't want them to be discouraged. See, our parenting needs to honor God. Just think about this. The first time you sinned, did God come down and smack you on the back of the head? No. He allowed you to do it, but he told you, you know it's wrong. as a believer in Christ, I still struggle with some sins. And what he does is, when it happens again, he doesn't go off and wallop me. God doesn't punish us that way. He convicts us of what we've done. He comes to us lovingly and says, the Holy Spirit says, Chris, you remember, that's not right. And I'm like, oh, man. And I repent. And I'm good then. My relationship is rebuilt. Our parenting must honor and please God. Our discipline that we do needs to glorify God. If we ignore God's word, we are raising our children. We easily provoke them and cause them to be discouraged. Now, we've talked about the roles and responsibilities in the home. And there's a lot more that we could say. There's a lot more we could talk about. What we must get from today is that we are going to love God. If we're going to love God and love people, we have to be practicing that in the home. And in order to do that, in order to have loving relationships in our homes, we need to follow the pattern that God has laid down. If we keep his commandments and get clear instructions in the family, it'll happen. So the question is your house filled with love? Do your kids know it? Do you love one another in that special way that we're supposed to? Wives, do you have a submissive attitude? A willing submissive attitude? Understand, you can sit there and look at me and say, well, you know, you don't understand my husband. Your submission to your husband is not determined by your husband. Your responsibility to be submissive is not determined by your husband's actions. Husbands, your responsibility to love your wife is not determined by her submissiveness. You cannot say, I'd love my wife more if she was more submissive. No. You are to be loving to your wife no matter what. If they don't submit, husbands, you love them anyways. Wives, if your husband doesn't act like he loves you, submit to him. And he may start. But it's not determined by that. Your responsibility is not determined by that. You are commanded to love even when it's difficult. I want to speak to the men for this just a second here. Men, you are called to lead in your home. If you're not leading, you're not being obedient to God. And if you're not leading correctly, you're not being obedient to God. If you're leading like a tyrant, you're not being obedient. You need to lead like Christ would lead. And children, are you being obedient? It's not optional. This is not a choice. You must be obedient. We need to be faithful to the responsibilities God has given us as a family. Because if we do that, then when we get here in this family, we will also be the same way. My prayer for you is that your homes will glorify God. And that people will know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior as you love each other in the home. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Lord, we love you. And we know, Lord, many times we fall short. As I said, I am not perfect. But I have a perfect Savior who is changing me daily. And Father, I ask for us, for the ladies here who are wives, that you would help them to willingly submit to their husbands in a way that honors you. And Father, for the husbands, for the men here who are married, I would pray, Father, that you would help them to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And for us not to be harsh with our spouses. And for the people who are children, the children who are in here, Father, that they would willingly be obedient to their parents. And that the parents here would not be harsh with their children and cause them to be discouraged. Father, we praise you. We know you know to have the perfect way. Help us to see it and to lead our families in that way. Because one day we will be accountable. Help us to love in a way that is supernatural. Because we cannot do it on our own. will praise you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.